fear God, but all his house, his family, feared God. He gave much alms to the people. He was a charitable man. And he prayed to God always. Now remember, friends, that the gospel had not been preached unto him as yet. The gospel is by no means that which makes a person a redeemed person. The gospel has nothing to do with imparting spiritual life. The gospel is the good news and the glad tidings of what Jesus has already done to impart that knowledge unto God's people, whereby that they receive it and therefore respond to it and serve God as they travel here in this life and serve the Lord Jesus because of what he's done for them in their life. This man was a devout man. He's a godly man. So if he is a godly man, he's already a recipient of God's grace. If he is a man that fears God, then he already is a child of God, a child of grace. He's not a natural man, because the natural man does not bear these fruits. He does not love God nor fear God. According to the third chapter of the book of Romans, there is no fear of God before his eyes. This man loved God, he feared God, and he prayed to God always, and he gave much alms to the people. The Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. So God loved this man. He loved his family, and Jesus Christ had redeemed him. But he needed the knowledge of the redemption of Christ. He needed to be brought into the light of this liberty that Jesus Christ had wrought out for him and for the people of God. And so it was that the angel of the Lord told him what to do. Told him to send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so this is what he did. He sent men to Joppa. The next day, the next morning, two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And he declared unto them these things that had happened unto him. He sent them to Joppa to seek out the Apostle Peter. And the Apostle Peter was in Joppa. And he had went up on the housetop to pray. And he became very hungry. But while he was on the housetop, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great knit sheet at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again, the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now the Apostle Peter did not understand this vision, but he would understand it. It would be clearly shown unto him what the meaning of this vision was. But the meaning of the vision is that God had his people among the Gentiles, and Peter says what? And Peter said, Nothing common or unclean is entered into my mouth. But God said, What I have cleansed, call not thou common. So here we find that these people are already cleansed. They're already cleansed. Now how were they cleansed? They were cleansed by Jesus Christ's death and blood upon the cross. They were already redeemed people. They had already been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 says, Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved his people. Jesus died for them, he shed his blood for them, and he cleansed them, every one of them, upon the cross. What God hath cleansed, call thou not common. This man and his family and these Gentiles that dwelt here were cleansed. All the people of God everywhere were cleansed by Jesus Christ upon the cross. Now remember, they hadn't heard the gospel yet. So the gospel has nothing to do with people living with God in heaven. It has nothing to do with cleansing people so that they can become children of God, or that they'll have the opportunity to believe so that they can make themselves children of God. But the gospel has everything to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ, of what he has done for us in our life, and to bring us to the knowledge of the truth, of the reality, how we were redeemed, and that's by Jesus, how that eternal life comes to us, and that's by the voice of the Son of God and the work of the Spirit in our hearts to give us eternal life. That's without the gospel. This man Cornelius already had spiritual life without the gospel. The gospel had not been preached to him. It's positive proof here that the qualities of grace that he possessed were by the Spirit of God that dwelt within him. And yet he did not know about the redeeming blood and death of the Lord Jesus. But he had already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But he's going to be brought into this knowledge. And that's what the gospel is for, to bring God's people into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So it was that the Apostle Peter went with them. So it was the Apostle Peter received them, went with them, came to the house of Cornelius. As Cornelius was waiting for them, this man of God and his family, children of God, were waiting. He had gathered them together to wait for the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter was the first one chosen by the Lord to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. The door of faith was open now to the Gentiles. And when Peter heard again the experience of Cornelius, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him," that is, with God. Now, Peter perceives a truth that he had not perceived before. "I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons." He now has a revelation of a truth that was a truth all along. Peter just didn't understand it. That Jesus Christ died upon the cross not only for his people among the Jews, but also for his people among the Gentiles, and he washed them in his own blood and saved them for glory and redeemed them. And therefore, Peter now is seeing this wonderful truth. "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation," that's every nation, everywhere, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every color, "God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him," that fears God, "and works righteousness is accepted with God." That is, they're already accepted with God. They've already been made accepted in Jesus Christ. They're saved for heaven already by Jesus Christ. But they need to know it and understand it and be blessed to hear the glad tidings and the joyful sound and respond to it and walk in it and serve the Lord Jesus for who he is and what he's done for them. And the Apostle Peter begins to preach the glorious gospel unto Cornelius and his house and his friends that he's gathered together in the sight of God to wait for the message. And so it is, while the Apostle Peter speaks unto them and preaches unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now the Holy Comforter has been given or fallen upon the Gentiles, as he was given and fell upon the Jews at the day of Pentecost. the Holy Comforter, in his ministry of attending the gospel and his felt presence. And it says, they of the circumcision, that is those six brethren that the Apostle Peter took with him, which believe were astonished. And because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now remember, they hadn't been baptized yet. They hadn't got in the water yet. They hadn't submitted themselves to that ordinance yet. But they were recipients of the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost. They were already God's children. They'd already been cleansed. So baptism does not cleanse the inner man, but it is an ordinance of the church for the believing child of God. It is not to make a person a child of God and get people ready for heaven. It is the door, the ordinance in which God's people who believe in the Lord Jesus and that he put their sins away upon the cross and that they've been saved by his amazing grace for them to enter into the fellowship of the gospel church. It says, for when they heard them speak, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. My friends, I want to tell you that water baptism is an ordinance for the believing child of God who believes in salvation by grace, believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who teach that water baptism will wash your sins away literally have a religious deformity. It is heresy. It is not the truth. And therefore, I know that there's some of God's people among them have been deceived by that. But that's what they do. They deceive people of God into believing that this is what's going to take you to heaven. When no, it's the blood of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection is what's going to take the Lord's people to glory. May the Lord bless you to receive this and understanding. Search it out and study it and give me a call at the number on the screen. May the Lord richly bless you is my prayer. We trust that you will make your plans to be with us at the Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church this Sunday morning.